Ezekiel 22, verse 30. The Word of God says, "And I sought for a man among them that should take up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." May God add blessings to the reading of His Word this morning. If you would, let's pray and let's ask God's blessing and His moving as we try to preach and go through His Word for the message today. Heavenly Father and Lord God, we do come today thanking You so much for Your presence thus far. We thank You for all the blessings that You have given us. We thank You for the liberty and the privilege to stand in a nation today that still has liberty to preach the Word of God. I pray that You would take this message this morning, that You would anoint it, that it would return to You exactly everything that You purposed it to do. And Heavenly Father, that hearts would be saved, people would be drawn closer to You, that You would take it to the far reaches of the world, if it be Your will, and see people saved, see people drawn close to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Standing in the gap. We know this is Memorial Day, or tomorrow is Memorial Day. We're celebrating it in churches today. We want to remember our veterans. We want to remember those who have stood in the gap. Those that have bled and died, who are buried in foreign lands. Those that are standing in the gap today, that are giving us the privilege and the freedom and the liberty to meet here safely. I'm thankful for those folks. Very thankful. I'm fortunate enough to be able to look through my family, and I can see many in my family that have served. And I appreciate each one of them. I've had the privilege of knowing some great people who have served in the military. I've had the opportunity to talk with many about circumstances and situations that they have faced. And the more I have to talk, the more I get to listen to them, the more I realize how God's hand has been on this nation. But there are some things this morning that we must come face to face with. As the church, we must come face to face with some realities of sin and disobedience that are taking place in our nation. We must come face to face with the reality that God is calling today for people to stand in the gap. Reminds me of a man that I once heard of. His name was John. And John had a memory problem. So one day he ran into a friend of his, someone he has not seen in a long time. He greeted him. He said, "Bill, do you remember what a bad memory I had?" Well, Bill answered, "Yeah, I remember, John. Sure do." "Well, it's not bad anymore. I went to a seminar, and that seminar taught me how to remember things. It was great. And now I have a wonderful memory." Well, Bill said, "Great, I'm glad to hear that, John. What was the name of the seminar?" "Well," John said, "wait a minute. My wife went with me, and I'll ask her." So he turned to his wife, who was standing close, and he had a puzzled look on his face. He looked back at Bill, and he said, "Bill, what's the name of that flower that has a long stem and thorns and a red bloom?" Bill said, "Do you mean a rose?" He said, "Yeah, that's it." So he looked back over at his wife and he said, "Hey, Rose, what's the name of the seminar we attended?" People become forgetful. People become forgetful. I become forgetful. That's why I carry a legal pad with notes and things like that. If I don't write it down, I will forget it. That's just who I am. Our lives get busy. we forget things. Often, I see days like Memorial Day and Veterans Day, even Independence Day, being forgotten. I see them being forgotten by a nation who sees them as an opportunity for just another day to go play. For just another day, for a long weekend. We lose track of exactly what these days were established for, what they were established to mean. Often, and in all reality, I see people forgetting about Sunday, about the Lord's Day. I see people taking the Lord's Day as being just another day to decide what I want to do. We lose track and we forget about what it's established and set apart for. This is a day we celebrate once a week, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If it doesn't mean that to us as children of God, then what does Jesus Christ mean to us? Have we forgotten Him as well? For many, we in our nation today, for the church, for a government, we need an awakening. Now, if you know anything about church history, you know that there were two great awakenings in the church. Many of us believe there's time for a third today. You know, we'll look at prophecy, and everybody is interested in Bible prophecy until we get really into the seven churches and we realize and come face to face with the point that we are living in the days of the Laodicean church. And that means we're lukewarm. And nobody likes to come face to face with the reality that we're in a lukewarm spiritual condition this morning. We don't like to think of that. We don't like to think of ourselves as being lukewarm. But that's what the Word of God tells us. We don't like, that's okay for the folks down the road. Or that's okay for the folks up the road. Or that's okay for this other denomination. But not me. I'm not lukewarm. Are we really sure about that? Are we really sure about that? God said in Israel, through Ezekiel, He was looking for someone to stand in the gap. Israel was falling apart spiritually. Matter of fact, if you go all the way back up to verse 25 and start reading, you see in verse 25, Ezekiel opens with, "There is a conspiracy." And he actually breaks down Israel into five components. A conspiracy is in the midst. It's like a roaring lion that's preying and devouring souls. It goes on through the priest. America, I believe, and I've had this conversation with others just this week, I believe America was established by God to be His missionary outreach for the world. Since America has been established and since America has been started working and growing, we have sent more missionaries and we have sent the Word of God around the world. Untold millions have been saved through the missions work of churches in America. Untold millions. But yet today we stand among a government and among an attitude that says, well, Christianity is just an old, wore-out philosophy that's bigoted and hateful. We see people leaving Christianity because it's no longer socially acceptable. God says we need somebody to stand in the gap today. He calls the church today to be that somebody that stands in the gap and says the Word of God is still the Word of God. Today is a memorial day where we look back and we're thankful for all the sacrifices that's been made for our freedom, but are we thankful to Jesus Christ for the sacrifice that He's made for the freedom of our sin? Are we truly thankful for that? In World War II, there was many heroes that come out of World War II. But I want to talk to you about one here right now. Lieutenant Commander Butch O'Hare, he was a fighter pilot. He was assigned to an aircraft carrier, the aircraft carrier Lexington, and they were sent to the South Pacific. Well, one day his squadron was sent on a mission. Now, he got his airplane up and he was flying, and then he happened to realize that nobody put any gas in his airplane. He had some fuel, but he didn't have enough to complete the mission and get back. So the commander of the squadron told him to turn around and go back. He didn't want to do that, but he didn't have a choice. So he turned the airplane around, and he started heading back. As he got close to the Lexington, he saw something really strange, and when he got closer to it, he realized that there was trouble, and cold shivers ran up his spine. He saw a squadron of Japanese aircraft, and they were going toward the fleet of ships that they had just left from. They were unprotected. They had no aircraft left to protect them. All they had was just the weapons on the ships themselves. All of the fighter planes were gone. They were off on a mission. The fleet was defenseless. He couldn't reach his squadron and bring them back. Nor could he warn the fleet of approaching danger. So there was only one thing that he could do. He had to engage them. Just him. By himself. Against a squadron of Japanese fighters. Laying all thoughts of safety aside, he dove into the middle of them and started fighting. Started shooting. His wing mounted 50 calibers, firing just as fast as he could fire. Attacking one surprised enemy plane after another. He started moving them and getting rid of them one at a time. He dove in and out. He had broken up the formation and he had planes scattered everywhere. He fought and he fought. He even was at the point where he was clipping their wings with his wings, causing them to crash, hoping to break them apart. Finally, he becomes such a nuisance and they couldn't shoot him and get him down. They broke off and they left. After that, he got back to the aircraft carrier Lexington. They looked at his aircraft. Man, what happened? He told them the story. He didn't realize it, but they had mounted a camera on his aircraft. They took the camera and they reviewed the film footage. It took place February 20th, 1942. Butch O'Hare became the Navy's first ace of World War II, the first naval aviator to win the Congressional Medal of Honor. A year later, this same hero was killed in a combat action at the age of 29. His hometown would not allow his memory to die. Today, O'Hare Airport in Chicago is still named after him. It's a tribute. He didn't do it for glory. He didn't do it for fame. He didn't do it for fortune. He did it because somebody needed to stand in the gap. On Wednesday nights, we've been studying persecution and martyrdom in church history. Those people that we've been looking at and we've been reviewing, they didn't do what they'd done. They didn't give their lives because they wanted to be famous. They gave their lives because they believed in what they had. They believed in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They stood in the gap. The Roman Empire stood against them. They stood in the gap. The religious establishment stood against them. They stood in the gap. Today, we're seeing an uptick of anti-Christian sentiments going worldwide. And the Word of God asks today, are you willing to stand in the gap? Well, what does that look like, preacher? What does it look like for someone to stand in the gap today? 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 17 gives us a picture. It says, "And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good?" Peter starts out with a question. Who? "But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled," Peter says. "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." Peter takes it right down to the nuts and the bolts, and he lays the cards face up on the table. He asks the question, who is it that's going to harm you if you do good? Say, well, people can be mean and cruel, and they can cause me problems on my job, and they can cause me problems in life. Can they cause you more harm than being disobedient to God? Can they cause you more harm than being disobedient to God? He goes on to remind the church, if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And Peter knew all of these men who wrote the Scriptures and whom God worked through knew what it was to suffer, what it was to do without, what it was to be put in a spot where they could have taken care of themselves and they could have just went along with the status quo. They could have just jumped right on board with religion as it was in that day and not ruffled any feathers, not stirred any water, not caused any problems. But it would have been sin, because it would have been heresy and apostasy against the Word of God. And they chose righteousness, and they suffered because of righteousness. America has suffered because of righteousness. And unfortunately, too many, we've gotten to a point today where we're no longer willing to do that. And now there are some that are saying, don't worry about being righteous. Don't worry about the Word of God. Don't worry about the Bible. Don't worry about that. Just get in line with everybody else and do what everybody else is doing. We may get the applause of the world, but we will have to suffer We will have to suffer the consequences of the wrath of God. Is that what we really want? Is that where we really want to be? God's looking for some people today to stand in the gap. What the church decides to stand upon today is what will be a memorial in the future. It doesn't matter what the numbers are. It doesn't matter if it's just a handful or if it's multitudes. The stand that the church takes today will be a stand that will be a memorial for our future generations. We see a good number of children with us today. Our children and our grandchildren. And let me ask you a question. What kind of nation and world do you want to leave them with? Do you want to leave in their hands the obedience of the Word of God or the disobedience of the Word of God? What memorial do you want to leave in their hands and in their hearts? We have those that have the courage in combat. We have those that have the courage in Christianity. And God's asking for more. Because with combat comes those who have to make a decision to do what the right thing is, even if it's perilous to them. In Christianity, we have that same decision. Are we going to make the right decision, even if it's perilous to us? That's standing in the gap. And that's where we are today. That's where we are in our faith today. That's where we are in our nation today. God's looking for a few good people, a few good people to stand in the gap. To stand in the gap and not waver. Not waver. As we draw to a close this morning, I'd like to ask if we could to have our musicians come, prepare for us a little something. Invitation. Are you prepared to stand in the gap? Are you willing to stand in the gap? If you're saved today, you understand and your heart is drawing you, and you know that's where you need to be. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, your thoughts may be noble, but your heart can't be in it. If Jesus is calling you to salvation, today is the day you need to respond to that. Because He needs you to stand in the gap. That's why He's calling you. That's His church. He's calling us to stand in the gap. As individuals and as a congregation, are we willing to do that? Are we willing to stand in the gap? That's what God's asking. So as we sing this morning, if God's dealing with your heart, will you come?